Chris, is this just a flying trip to London then? I mean, what?
It is. Yeah. It's just 48 hours. Came over for the awards last night, and then back tomorrow to carry on training.
So where are you based at the moment, and what does training consist of?
I'm in Johannesburg.
Yep.
So somewhere where the sun shines a little bit more, and up at altitude, obviously, to get a really good base in before the season.
Familiar roads, is that close to where you sort of lived?
Yeah,
when you were, yeah?
Definitely, it's close to where I went to university and secondary school there, so familiar roads to when I was riding there. And
back in your mountain biking days?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where is that? Is that, because I know a little bit of the layout there, is that north of Joburg?
Pretty much centre of Joburg.
Which district?
Only 10k's at Rosebank.
Yep.
So only 10k's from the CBD.
Yep.
But from there, it gives me easy access to the south of Johannesburg, and also to the west. So I can go out to Magaliesberg, Hartbeespoort Dam, or I can go south into the Sekebosrand Nature Reserve, and there's good roads.
I mean, you're already at, what is it, sort of 1,600 metres altitude or something like that in Joburg?
1,600, 1,700.
So you've got that sort of base, but what's the climbing like around there? I mean, how far?
There's not fantastic climbing.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
This time of year, I don't really need to be doing specific sort of climbing intervals as such. It's more about getting the majority of the hours in, and I think being up at altitude gives you that extra sort of added pressure on the body and that adaptation to take on more oxygen. So it's I think a useful exercise to be up there at the moment.
Absolutely. And then how do you, I mean, what's your first race as far as you're aware, and how does it all kickstart from you from here?
Following a very similar layout to this year leading up to the tour, so starting off at the I'll go to the Mallorca camps at the end of January.
Yep.
The Tour of Algarve February, I think Criterium International in,
yep,
Corsica. Go and check out the early stages of the tour.
Yeah. Is that, have they designed that race with the tour in mind this year?
I'm not sure yet. I don't think they've released it yet, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it will be on similar roads.
Yeah, if not exactly.
If not, we'll go and check it out while we're over there. So, so that's Criterium International, then Torino Adriatico, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Good stage race, good miles. Tour of Romandy, Dauphiné Tour, and I think a couple of altitude blocks in there somewhere.
So any injury or illness that you know apart, that's your program, and that's pretty much exactly what you did last year.
Yeah,
right.
Obviously, this year was a bit different with the illnesses and the crashes before the tour set me back a little bit. So
it didn't do you
touch
much.
Wood. Touch wood, that's not the case again this year. I'm not trying to play catch up at the last minute.
Yeah. Was there a bit of that last year?
Definitely. I think I just came round in time for the tour, I think. I mean, if you look at my, I had to miss Paris-Nice because I was in pieces there illness-wise. Then I had an accident with a pedestrian, which set me back a while while I was time trial training. I had an accident coming down Taida one morning. The front wheel blew and I crashed on a corner at about 70k's an hour. That set me back a bit. So I had all these little setbacks before the tour last year, which I think also left the team guessing a little bit. Will Chris get into good enough form for the tour?
Mm.
But I think just at the last minute, or at Dauphiné, I think it was evident that I was certainly on the up. I came fourth at Dauphiné. And then I think they could see in the training numbers and the way things were going in the training camp at Châtel that I was definitely ready for the tour.
When you reflect, and we come to the end of that extraordinary year now, when you look back at your misfortune and your brighter moments, of which there are many, I mean, what stands out for you as the kind of, I don't know, the defining stage in which race? I mean, there's so much to reflect on. What does it for you? What memory do you take away?
From
2012,
year.
Yeah.
The one special memory I think I can take away from 2012 was the Olympics. That was a first for me, and being a home Olympics, that's it's like the Champs-Élysées all over again, but this time every single one of these people were cheering for us and edging us on in that time trial and the road race. Time trial obviously a bit more special for me, having medaled there. That was really unexpected. I was was hoping for a good ride, but I didn't realistically think I was in with a chance in of the medals.
With
the likes of Tony Martin, Cancellara, sure. Who else? Finney, a few guys there. I didn't think I'd, on a one day sort of hit out like that, I didn't think I'd be in the medal table there. So that was a nice surprise.
Right. Probably surprised other people less than it surprised you. I mean, it's not as if the form... Maybe 2012 time trialing form wasn't where you'd look at for your real strength in 2012, was it? I mean,
no,
necessarily.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's all second to Brad in the time trial, so I suppose I was there and thereabouts, but it wasn't something that I'd really pegged in for 2012. Let's go for the Olympic time trial. I thought, yes, I'll give it a shot if I get the opportunity, but I hadn't from the outset made that a goal, so that was a really pleasant surprise for me, and just seeing how other people responded to that, and the fact that we came away with a gold and a bronze on that day, that was just phenomenal.
And you picked that one out over both the Grand Tours that you rode and competed so hard.
I think so. I think the Tour, there was a lot of that was not taking anything away from the Tour, but the Olympics just felt bigger and more significant, I think, than the Tour.
Really?
It's only comes around once every 4 years, and I don't think many athletes ever get the chance to compete in a home Olympics, yet alone medal in a home Olympics. So that's a special one.
And you've ridden a lot of Tours de France now, haven't you? I mean, how many is it?
Only two. 2008 and
2008. Did you not ride two for Barloworld?
As a neo pro, I rode one with Barloworld, and then this year.
That's
this
amazing.
Is my second one.
Two Vueltas. How many Giro? One.
Two Giro. Probably.
Yeah, it's a number of Grand Tours, though. I mean, it's a decent.
Got about six. I think two of each.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of each.
Which one do you like best?
I think the Vuelta's most fun.
Is it?
I think I'd have the most fun on the Vuelta. But I think the Tour is the most significant one for me.
Not necessarily the most fun, though, because the pressure's on you guys.
Because there's pressure there. There's pressure, and I don't necessarily really like that whole... how much one race is built up like that.
Mm.
But yeah, I completely... I know the Tour is Tour to me is where you need to perform. That's the holy grail, if you like, of cycling. That's where Joe Bloggs on the street doesn't know anything about a Vuelta a España, but speak to him about a Tour de France. And
it's changing a bit, but I know
what you're talking about.
I'm part of your problem on the Tour because I'm in your face every day. We're not daft, we're not stupid. We do realise that the scrutiny and the pressure we put you under. It must be a chore. I mean, it must be a chore, frankly, isn't it? When you look out of your windows and you see us all waiting there. Especially in the mornings, I sometimes think, when we're waiting for you at the start.
Yeah,
and before you've even start to do your job, we're in your face, you know.
It definitely adds an element of this isn't just about riding a bike and performing to the best of your ability. It's also addressing the commercial side of cycling and the whole reason why we have sponsors. It definitely is an important part of our jobs, but it's not necessarily a part that I think a lot of cyclists like to do as part of their jobs. But yeah, I know it's something that's gonna most probably become more relevant in the next couple of years for me. So it's something I'm gonna have to work at.
There were times when you had to answer really difficult questions and very repetitive lines of questioning as well for the likes of me and the rest of you. Were there times when you almost felt the red mist come down, where you almost felt you've pushed me
too far?
Too far.
I didn't feel that. I just felt it was a bit. Unnecessary at some point, and a bit of a shame to take away from the actual racing itself, all these other elements of possible in-team rivalry, and I know the press sensationalised that a lot this year and built up this whole notion that Bradley and I were having issues and fighting it out against each other, which was far, far, far from the truth. Yeah,
was part of the problem that the rest of the race outside of your team bus seemed to be so neutralised because you
I think that's also another side to it, is because I think we dominated the race and we controlled the race very carefully, that sort of I feel the press was looking for another angle maybe to make it exciting or to make a story or to have a story to write about. That wasn't necessarily a story about look how great these guys are doing, first and second for the Brits ever in history. I feel that predominantly should be the story. So to hear headlines about, for example, me attacking Brad to go and get the yellow or something. I think quite sad and shows, I think a bit of a lack of understanding for the sport. But obviously, I understand the press have got to write their stories.
Might have been, although, you know, in our defence, it might have been clearer for you because you were the guy inside your head than it was for the rest of us just watching television pictures. And is that not part of the deal as well, that something like that happens?
100%.
You kind of have to explain it because cycling is often behind veils and quite mysterious anyway.
That's it. I mean, there's a huge element, a huge team element to cycling that I think... a lot of people don't 100% grasp that at the end of the day it is a team sport and you have to conform to that and that the success of a team is dependent on everyone in the team doing what's required of them.
If I said to you by the end of the calendar year 2013 you'll have won a Grand Tour, would you think, yeah, it's about part of the course? Is that where your ambitions are?
My ambitions are definitely there. I'd love to win a Grand Tour. I feel I've come close a couple of times now already. I've been in the running for the last three Grand Tours that I've done.
So that doesn't strike you as absurd, what I just said?
No. I mean, I came 13 seconds away from it just over a year ago. So I know it's within my ability. It's there. I can do it. But I know there are several aspects I need to work on to get there. I know I don't feel I've reached my full potential yet. I think there's... yes, I have to work at being a leader, but I feel on the performance side, there's also things I can work on. For example, my time trialing. I've never been in a wind tunnel before. I've never had that positioning done.
You've never been in a wind tunnel?
No. So I think that only, to me, spells out opportunity that I can... work on that and better that position to hopefully shave off a few more seconds.
Might even be more than that. I mean, because that's been fundamental to the track GB boys' sort of career, hasn't it? That's amazing that you've not had that yet. I mean, is that something that's coming up in the next...
I think it's... we haven't made definite plans for it, but I think it's definitely in there somewhere in early season to get into a wind tunnel and maybe make a few adjustments. I know on the bike I've got a, I'm by no means a fluid element on the bike. I know my elbows are sticking out and my upper body moves from side to side a lot.
Does that matter? I mean,
I think it's very inefficient. I'm maybe wasting energy. I'm pushing more wind than I should. It's exciting for me. I know there's things I can work on. I know there's things I can get better at and hopefully become faster.
Well, let me twist that question around about 2013 then. If I said to you at the end of calendar year 2013, you won't have won a Grand Tour, how does that feel? Does that feel like if we're sat here this time next year?
I feel like it's. But yeah, I'm gonna make sure I am gonna win something. I'm gonna. It spurs me on. It motivates me to.
So that would feel. That would feel like, not enough. Would that feel like not enough if we're sat here this time next year?
I think, given the circumstances, I mean, if I can go into 2013, have, I don't know, a shot at one Grand Tour, two Grand Tours, whatever it be, but I know I've given it actually everything I've got, and I've been beaten by Contador, for example.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel bad about that. I know I'll have given it actually everything, and no holds barred, I've given it everything. I definitely wouldn't feel bad about that.
it's considered the elephant in the room a little bit here, that, I mean, you experienced him firsthand in the Vuelta. Psychologically, how does that, I mean, if his career had panned out normally without the doping suspension and the strange decisions he might have made, yeah, we would possibly be talking about one of the greatest stage races there's ever been, wouldn't we, right now? I mean, is that how do you think about Contador?
Yeah, he, I think, to me, he's the biggest stage racer of our generation at the moment. I think he's, I mean, how many has he won already? He's won a good...
I don't know which of he's won and which he hasn't won. Okay. Gets confusing.
Fair enough. No, he's, I mean, he's won a good few. He knows how to ride them. We saw in the Vuelta, he doesn't give up riding until the end. He fights for it and makes sure whoever's leading has got a hard time to defend it. So, I mean, he to me stands out as the hot favourite for next year's tour, given the route.
What are the cracks in his armour? How do you beat Contador? Would feel overwhelming to any of the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd be able to, or any of us should base our race preparation around him. I mean, I think the best is that we can get to our best level and race the race the best we know it, and hopefully get him to respond to us. I think we've got a certain way of racing at Sky that can be perceived as very defensive, but it's been successful so far. Bar the Vuelta, I think Vuelta circumstances were different. I don't feel I was at my best in the Vuelta.
You were knackered, right?
I was on my knees. I was running out of energy there. But I don't know if Contador was at his best there either. So who knows? It's.
But what you're saying is I've asked the wrong question. You would flip that round and say, well, actually, what's Contador going to do about you?
What's he got to do to beat us?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
and that's what he'll be thinking as well.
We'll be riding our tempo on the climbs, I'm sure, and it's going to be up to him to attack and try and put daylight between himself and us. So, and if we are going to go in there with Bradley and myself going for it, then I'm sure we're in a better position than if it was just one of us.
Couple more things I just want to touch on. That Vuelta stage where you beat Kobo, he came past you, and I can't remember which number it was or where it was.
17, Pina Cabarga.
In your mind. Where was it, Pina?
Pina Cabarga.
Exactly. One of the greatest, I think, at the last Grand Tours, one of the greatest sort of single stages I've seen in a while, because it's very rare that you see two climbers isolated like that, one going past the other one on a climb, and then the guy who's been passed coming back. I mean, that's a real, you know, as a fan, if you like, as a spectator,
I can understand
there
that.
Are very few, because that's pure drama, isn't it? I was very struck when you won that stage that you kind of collapsed over the line. You slumped backwards against the hoarding, took off your helmet, and I seem to remember you kind of head and you looked at, and it looked like you just went. Now, I interpreted that as, you could have won the Vuelta there and then. Was that what it was? Was that what you were thinking?
No, I wasn't thinking that I could have won the Vuelta. I think I was just gasping for air at that moment. I think I'd gone further than, gone past my physical limits and a little bit more just to get that stage win.
I know what you're saying. If it had panned out differently, you could have won it then.
It's very easy in hindsight to look back at Grand Tours and say, if we had ridden like this, it could be different. But I've given up doing that now. I'm focusing on the future and just learning from the past. I feel like I could have won that Vuelta for sure. I was only 13 seconds behind the winner. That's bike racing. I had a job to do at the time, and I know I did that job.
It strikes me as amazing that, the other thing I wanted to touch on, only 2.5 years ago, you picked me up from the centre of Cuerrata and drove you in your old knackered golf car, was it? Or your beaten up thing. You drove me to your little flat there that you were sharing with some other, I can't remember who it was. And you were, it was right at the beginning of your Sky thing, and they'd said to you basically, go off, work really hard, and lose 6 kilos or something like that. They put you on. You were on some murderous regime. You've been on a long training ride, and you were sat there with an apple for lunch. It was, and now here we are, in sort of like, you know, top London agents discussing being disappointed if you know you don't end up a grand tour winner. It's happened.
No, it's definitely been a very fast progression, I think, for me. If you look at my cycling career in general, I think I started late.
22.
Basically towards the end of school, beginning of university, I started training and such. Before that, I was just riding around, just kind of enjoying using my bike to go to my friends' houses and using it to go to the shops and using it to go exploring in Kenya, and that was about it, really. I got into cycling very late, and it's been a fast progression for me. And
so in the back of your mind, is it always a little bit making up for, you know, just you trying to sort of put your career in the microwave a little bit, you know, rather than the slow cooker?
I wouldn't say I'm trying to play catch up the whole time, but I know I've got these targets or things I need to work on, and I definitely feel I'm not at my full potential yet. I think I've still got a way to go.
Yeah. And what was that like, that first season with Sky? Did they really put you through it, you know, in terms of getting you ready? Because you surprised me that day. It hadn't occurred to me. I said to you, where do you want to be as a rider? What kind of profile? Because we'd only seen glimpses of Chris Froome up till then.
Yeah.
A little bit of you climbing in Barloworld with the big GC guys, and then you kind of drop off when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and then a little bit of time trialing form here and there, but we didn't know.
There wasn't much, yeah.
And you said GC, which kind of was the first time.
Did I say
you
GC
did
then?
Back in 2009. I think it was just
Grand Tours.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I dug it out. I listened back to it the other right. day. Yeah. And no, it was interesting because it took me by surprise, but already
right.
it was. Yeah.
I think it's always been at the back of my mind. That's where I wanted my career to go. That's where I knew I had that engine, if you like, for long endurance events like the Grand Tours, for example. And from when I very first started watching the tour, when I saw Basson Armstrong in the mountains, I think I said to myself, that's the dream, that's where I want to get to, I want to be a GC rider one day.
Yeah.
But I think if you'd said to me then that one day you'll win a stage of the tour, I'd be happy to sort of sign off on that and say, okay, that's,
would you?
I'll settle for that. So to be in the position that I am now, I feel very grateful, and I've certainly come a long way. I just hope I can make the most of it now.
And what about the rest of it? What about the money? I mean, it's a huge increase on your old contract and
definitely
moving to Monaco and a kind of whole different, you don't strike me as kind of the showbiz. You're not Brad Wiggins, right? You're someone else. I mean, is that all you taking that in your stride, or is that a bit odd?
It's reassuring for me to be able to go back to Kenya and South Africa on a yearly basis and come back down to earth a bit, I think, and get a bit of a reality check.
What does that give you, going back there? What does that give you?
I find going back to Kenya, South Africa reminds me of what reality is, and it's not living in Monaco and every second car is a flash car of some sort. It's and that there are bigger things in life than a bad day of training or a race that goes badly or something, a bike breaking or whatever. It's brings me back down to earth, I think.
You still got the beaten up golf?
I don't. That was actually Pete Kenner's.
Was it Pete Kenner's? It wasn't even yours?
No, it wasn't even mine.
Was that his place then?
I was just staying at his place while I was looking for an apartment.
Absolutely right, yeah. And just finally, as you work on your time trialing and, you know, you go and work on your positioning, and if that's the focus a little bit, are you conscious of the fact that one thing that differentiates you from Brad, for example, is that you can stand up and accelerate, and you've got that kind of particular trick that can be devastating if you time it right and get it right, and that you must never lose that. Is that something that you hold on to and is quite special, even if it's psychologically quite important to know you've got it there?
I think that's definitely I mean, you don't. Yes, I do feel that I do have that in my favor. But then you look at someone like Contador, who can do that six times on one climb.
Yeah.
It's I'm definitely not.
Is there any reason why you can't do that?
I wouldn't say there's a reason why I can't do it, but I think everyone has their style of racing, and Contador is clearly a lot more aggressive, and he's able to go into the red and back down six times on a climb, or probably more, who knows. I feel I can only do that once. Whereas I think someone like Brad probably would rather choose to not accelerate like that and rather try and treat it as a time trial to close that gap. So I think everyone deals with changes of rhythm differently. But
as far as if you can't do the Wiggins model as well, I mean, you seem to be thoroughly capable of matching Brad's speed.
I think I've learned a lot from that model, and I think I can... the one thing I've got to be careful of is not to. In the past, I know I've got carried away with that feeling of being able to accelerate, and I've done that possibly too early or too far out from the finish, and then I find myself struggling.
Can you cite an example of that?
Tour of Switzerland last year. I remember I did that at one stage, and probably about 10k's out, I did it already. I just felt good, so I went.
Yeah.
Whereas I know now to save that bullet for the last k, or once everyone else has spent theirs already.
Right.
I think I made that mistake again in the Vuelta this year. I in the first week, I was pushing on quite early in the climbs, relatively early compared to the other guys.
Yeah.
Whereas if you watch the likes of Rodriguez and Contador, I think they were... Well, Rodriguez, certainly. He was riding off the other guys a lot until the very last moment, when he had absolutely just obliterated everyone. But
is it maybe a thing that for guys like you, the temptation is always there on a good day to think, I could just get this done today on this climb, and that's why you want to go early rather than, you know, I want to get the 2.5-3 minutes rather than the nurdle 25 seconds out of it, you know, which is probably the cleverer way of going.
I think it's a bit of a trick that you've got to work out where you are, that not to spend too much too early, but it's easy to get carried away with that good feeling that you feel invincible at the time, and you do that big effort only to realise everyone's still on your wheel, and then you're in trouble.
Mm. Who works with you at Team Sky, Chris? I mean, we know that Shane is very close to Brad, you know, sort of father-son figure thing that's going on there or whatever, but I mean, is Shane a big part of your preparation? I mean, is Shane in your head?
He's in my ear sometimes. No, I've been working really closely with Bobby for the past 2 years, Bobby Julek, and with his departure now, more closely with Tim.
With Tim,
yeah.
But I mean, Tim's not going to be he's not going to teach you about racecraft, is he? And necessarily, or psychology, or that's not Tim's bag.
He might teach me how to program my Apple again. Or no, he's the brains behind most of our training that we've been doing the past year, and I think now to have direct access to him, that's going to be quite valuable, or more direct contact with him. That's going to be quite valuable. I mean, it's sad to lose Bobby. I really enjoyed working with Bobby. But I understand why he had to go.
Yes,
circumstances around that. So
could you do with a, I mean, I'm sure Dave Brouse was working hard on it, but you know, there are some big voids now in the team, aren't there? You take Yates out of the equation as well, in terms of the old guard, you know, no, guys who know how to race.
The DS team is definitely down. I think Dan Hunt's come across from the track now to fill one of those spots. Who's that Aussie coach who's come over from Australia now?
Yeah, whatever his name is. Yeah.
He's coming over. I'd imagine him to be doing the same job Bobby was doing, possibly with more of the young Americans, probably in Nice. The positions are getting filled, but naturally it's easy to stick with what you know, and you tend to feel that's better. But
do you feel your status in the team is you know, is big enough to say, put your hand in the air and go,